Well, hello everybody. Hello and welcome to Essex Church, where this community of Kensington Unitarians meets each week for worship. We're a community made up of all those who walk through our doors. So whether you're someone for whom this has long been your spiritual home, or whether you're just beginning to feel at home here, or perhaps you're visiting for the first time, all are welcome here. London can be a busy and sometimes lonely city, and it's important, I think, for us to gather in community with one another. And that gives you a sense of the theme of today's service, which, if you have a look, is called Songs of the Spirit. And it's linking in with the Singing in Community workshop that we're holding here this weekend. So welcome to those of you who are visiting from there. I bring apologies from many people who can't be here today. They've all promised me they're not here. They haven't missed the service just because it's about singing. But you know, it was slightly ominous that our choir couldn't be here. But I know that we will be able to sing with gusto, however many there are of us here today. So let's just take a moment to calm ourselves, to take a centering breath, to let go for a moment perhaps of the busyness of the outside world, to let go perhaps of the concerns that I know some of us have in our hearts and minds. I call on the Spirit of Life to be present with us this hour, to join us as we gather in a wider search for truth, for meaning. May we inspire each other to consider new questions and seek deeper meaning. May we cultivate wisdom and compassion. Let all who enter this sanctuary see a welcome face, hear a kind word, and find comfort in community. And may all that is done and said here today in service to love and justice, may it support us in finding once again, perhaps, the song of our hearts. I'm lighting our chalice this morning, this symbol of our worldwide Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist faith, that its light might shine through our world, bringing the freedoms it represents to all those most in need. I light it in recognition of all the brave people who throughout the ages have sung against tyranny and oppression, the people who have refused to be silenced, even if their songs could only be quietly hummed or sung silently within. I love this reading. I suspect this one comes out every year these days, but it's by a writer called David Blanchard, and it's called Listening for Our Song, and it's about finding who we are. On sabbatical in East Africa, I heard a story of a people who believe that we are each created with our own song. Their tradition as a community is to honour that song by singing it as a welcome when a child is born, as comfort when a child is ill, in celebration when a child marries, and in affirmation and love when death comes. Most of us were not welcomed into the world in that way. Few of us seem to know our song. It takes a while for many of us to figure out which is our song and which is the song that others would like us to sing. Some of us are slow learners. I heard my song, he said, not necessarily from doing extraordinary things in exotic places, but also from doing some pretty ordinary things in some very routine places. For every phrase I heard climbing Kilimanjaro, I learned another in a chair in a therapist's office. For every measure I heard in the silence of a retreat, I heard another laughing with my children. For every note I heard in the wind on the beach, I gleaned more from spending time with a dying friend as her children sang her song back to her. And what came to astound me was not that the song appeared, but that it was always there. I figured that the only way I could have known it for my own was if I had heard it before, before memory went to work making sense and order of the mystery of our being. Our songs sing back to us something of our essence, something of our truth, something of our uniqueness. When our songs are sung back to us, it's not about approval, but about a recognizing of our being and our belonging in the human family. It's good to know our songs by heart for those lonely times when the world is not singing them back to us. That's usually a good time to start humming to yourself that song that is most your own. They can be heard as songs of love or of longing, songs of encouragement or of comfort, songs of struggle or security. But most of all, they are songs of life, giving testimony to what has been, giving praise for all that we're given, giving hope for all we strive for, and giving voice to the great mystery that carries each of us in and out of this world. Lovely words, I think, from David Blanchard.
Singing in the Bathtub by Bruce T. Marshall. According to the poet Allen Ginsberg, spirituality should be like singing in the bathtub. Yes, that's exactly right. Singing in the bathtub is spontaneous. You don't have to plan for it, study for it, or fit it in your calendar. You just do it, in the midst of what you have to do anyway. Singing in the bathtub is unself-conscious. You don't worry about how it sounds, or how you look doing it, or whether you've kept your skills current since the last time you sang in the bathtub. You just sing. Singing in the bathtub can be done by anyone, not just the experts. If there are experts singing in the bathtub, we are mercifully free of knowing who they are. In this endeavor, we are all equal. Sometimes we use the image of a journey to articulate the process of developing our spirituality. We picture a long and treacherous path along which we are introduced to experiences and trials and truths that guide us on our way. That's a good image. I draw upon it from time to time myself. But it's not like singing in the bathtub. Spirituality has to do with relationship, with one's deeper self, with each other, with that which gives us life. And relationship already exists. We don't have to undertake an arduous journey to find it. We don't have to do anything special to create it. It just is. When asked by a disciple how he could experience God, a Sufi mystic slipped off his tunic and stepped into the pouring rain. Lying on the grass, he opened his mouth and spread his arms. "That's how," he said. standing in the rain, lying on the grass, walking in the snow, being present to our own breathing and the heartbeats of the person next to us. Approaching our lives with spontaneity, with a lack of self-consciousness, with simplicity. That's how we may experience our relationship to the force that gives us life. It's like singing in the bathtub.
Another chanting opportunity at the end of this address, which is going to be led with the singing by the singing in community group. Have you heard of Brother Bruno? Brother Bruno was by all accounts a living saint, known for his deeply religious lifestyle. And when he was at prayer one night, he was disturbed by the croaking of a bullfrog. All his attempts to disregard the sound were unsuccessful. And so he shouted from the window, "Quiet! Quiet, I'm at my prayers!" And now, because Brother Bruno was a saint, his command was instantly obeyed. Every living creature held its voice so as to create a silence that would be favourable to prayer. But now, another sound intruded on Bruno's worship, an inner voice that said, "But maybe God is as pleased with the croaking of a frog as with the chanting of your psalms and prayers." "What can please the ears of God in the croak of a frog?" was Bruno's scornful rejoinder. But that inner voice, it refused to give up. "Well, why would you think God invented that sound?" So Bruno decided to find out why. He leaned out of his window and he gave the order to sing. And the bullfrog's measured croaking filled the air to the ludicrous accompaniment of all the frogs in the vicinity. And as Bruno really attended to that sound, their voices ceased to jar him. For he discovered that if he stopped resisting them, they actually enriched the silence of the night. And with that discovery, Bruno's heart became harmonious with the universe, and for the first time in his life, he understood. He understood that all sounds are sacred for those who have ears truly to hear them, for they are the sounds of life itself. And I will know that I have become a truly involved spiritual being at the point where I no longer get irritated by the 390 bus that revs up outside my flat late at night. All sounds are sacred, but some sounds we like and some sounds we don't. Some sounds fit in with our perception of what is sacred and some don't. Sound is a deeply personal matter. It's also a cultural matter. It's a generational matter. Yet on some level, sound links us, doesn't it? One to all. The Om chant that we joined together early on with is said by Hindus to express the very vibration of the universe itself, the sound of the core that is all that is, all creation gently humming as one. It's an ancient concept. It's one that's accepted by physicists who tell us that at a molecular level, everything's vibrating. Nothing is completely still or silent. Years ago, I remember listening to a program on the radio about music in which the professor who was speaking put forward the view that music ultimately can be considered as simply meeting three different human needs, expressing three different aspects of human life itself. He said that music can be rousing and uplifting, music can be soothing and calming, and music can express our yearning, our sadness, something of the poignancy of life itself. And then when it comes to singing, well, its uses, its strengths can be so very varied, can't they? It can be used, as that first hymn this morning, it can be used as a form of protest. It can be used to voice the yearnings for freedom and justice that stir throughout human history. Singing requires us to breathe, and in doing that, we bring much needed oxygen to places within us, to our bodies, to our emotions, to our thoughts, and to, I believe, spiritual places too. Places that are in need of refreshment in some way. In need, literally, of fresh air. Now, how many of us are like Bruce Marshall, whose delightful reading we heard earlier on? Thank you for that, Veronica. How many of us, I wonder, sing in the bath or the shower or in the car or when we're doing the gardening or when we're on housework? It can be a truly delightful thing to do alone, singing. But I think it really comes into its own in community with others. Surely it's got to rank in the top few pleasures of life to actually be together with other people singing. I mean, not surprising really that apparently joining a choir is one of the most popular leisure and fastest growing leisure activities in Britain today. Singing connects us in community with one another. It's been used throughout the ages to help people in their work as well as at times of play. One of the songs that we've been singing in the Singing in Community workshop was a fishing song that was used on different fishing boats to help them find each other and join back together, a lovely call and response song. I just think it's such a valuable metaphor for all of us in our 21st century world that we need to find ourselves and find one another again and again and again. How fortunate then that we have songs of the Spirit to help us in that search. The search for self, the search for others. That search can indeed create a really beautiful and sacred sound. Amen. And so let us leave now in peace, with love in our hearts, and with justice guiding our steps, listening for the song of the Spirit singing within us every step of the way. Amen. Go well. Blessed be.